Well, hey there, Jonathan Doyle with you, and so cool to have the pleasure of your time to work through these two podcasts that I really hope are going to be very special for you. I hope that you see something here, that I can paint a picture that's really useful to you, that you hear something that really resonates with you. I want to help you just to get your hands to touch some processes and some strategies that are going to be really useful for you going forward. So in these two podcasts, we're going to get two big ticket issues. The first thing we're going to do in this first podcast is look at the impact of social media and the positives and the drawbacks of what that means for an elite athlete. I mean, we've all heard stories and we've seen the headlines of elite athletes blowing their lives up with a smartphone. And it's not something I'm sure you want to emulate. So let's look at that. Let's hear some information about that. In the second podcast, I really want to talk about peak performance stress. I want to talk about the belief system that that the world will fall apart if you don't operate at your absolute peak and become the most incredible, you know, player ever. So there's going to be a paradox in that, because I'm going to encourage you and show you how to kind of operate at your peak, but to do it coming from a different place. So there's going to be some really good stuff there, and hopefully some fresh stuff. So let's begin together. Let's work through this first podcast, which was suggested to me by a great coach who really wants to see some breakthrough for his players in this area of social media usage. We were in contact, and he's saying, look, we're seeing some challenges here, and I have some ideas on what we could do about this. And I did, and I started doing some research, and the first obvious thing is just the sheer volume and amount that we're all using social media. I mean, I've put a couple of links under this podcast just with a couple of quick articles on usage stats, but the Mashable website is stating that we're up to 11 hours per day of media usage. Now, that's not just social media, obviously. That ranges across television, gaming, internet, radio even. So electronic media, 11 hours per day, this is in the US, so you can see that obviously this stuff's a huge part of our lives. So this podcast will not be about you moving into a cave somewhere and just basically not using any electronic device. So look, it's part of our lives, right? It's just something that's here, we're all using it. But switching particularly to the social media usage side, Global Web Index is stating that social media usage, just, you know, discrete social media usage, is pushing up to around 2 hours per day. Now, I'm going to talk about this more in a sec, but just think about that for a moment. 2 hours per day, 120 minutes a day, where, you know, people, and this is averages, right? So, of course, some of you and some people you know are going to be cranking heaps more than that. So I want to give you a little masterclass here. I want to give you some insights into why it's so powerful. Firstly, you've got to think anthropologically. Now, so much of what I'm doing in speaking work around the world is connecting people back to why some things are so powerful in our lives, and anthropology is a big one. Anthropology simply means this, like it's kind of understanding that though we live in these highly advanced societies, large aspects of our anthropological self, like our physiology, parts of our brains, are still really haven't changed much in about 50,000 years. So yes, you know, like our prefrontal cortex, we'll talk about that in a second, but much of our thinking and reasoning capacity is quite advanced, but there's parts of us that are still very much in the caveman time, parts of our brains that are still there. And I want to give you 2 points on how anthropology is affecting social media usage. Number one is that we very much evolved out of the caves to scan our environments for novelty. Now, let me break this down for you. So I want you to think about some guy back in caveman time who's, you know, every day you wake up, and most of your thinking is really around a couple of basic things, right? Reproduction. Now, don't let your mind run too far with that right now, but reproduction, basically eating and not getting killed by, you know, something else. So seriously, it was that simple. I mean, it was all about survival, right? And we're only going back 50,000 years, 100,000 years at max. So our lives were about just getting through the day and not getting killed. So our brains literally evolved to scan our environments for anything new in the environment. So you're outside your cave, I mean, you lived there your entire life, right? So you just, every day, you knew the seasons and the weather, and you knew exactly what was outside your cave. So if a saber-toothed tiger was there, that was something novel in your environment, what we call novelty. It was different. So you suddenly, or you know, your whole fight or flight system would kick in, your sympathetic nervous system and your whole fight or flight response, and you'd start doing running or fleeing or fighting. But basically, it was all about scanning the environment. Now, one of the reasons that the internet and social media has been so powerful, and gaming, and even, you know, I do a lot of work on pornography addiction and internet addiction, because what the internet does and what social media does is present endless novelty. So here's the hook, right? We're presented with endless novelty every few seconds, new content, new content, new content. So this ancient part of our brain is actually still wired to be interested in novelty. And that's why when I was, you know, teaching on internet addiction or pornography addiction, you'd find that guys could be using for 5-8 hours a day. And people go, how could they stay in that aroused, you know, yeah, well, sexually aroused, but sort of, you know, mentally aroused state for so long? It's because the novelty mechanism in the brain kept getting tripped out. So one of the hooks for social media is that novelty aspect. So all I'm doing here is giving you an insight into why it's so got such a grip on so many people. The other big anthropological reason, along with novelty, is that we also evolved highly, highly sensitive to group bonding and acceptance. So as well as not getting eaten or killed in our caveman era, we're also very much about group bonding and cohesion. Why? Because we knew that if for any reason we were kicked out of the tribe or the group or the village, you'd pretty much be dead. Like if you got kicked out of your social grouping, your tribal grouping, then you would be fending for yourself, trying to feed, and the next tribe would kill you. So I'm serious. This isn't random. This is literally part of the core structure of our brain. You know, deep in our limbic system, our animalian brain, are these core responses. So we've still evolved to scan for novelty and to be interested in anything really different in our environment. And secondly, we've evolved to really value acceptance and bonding. That's a good thing, right? Because we love our families, our close friends, our team, our teammates. So it works positively in that sense. But also what can happen, of course, with social media is two things. One is that we get desperate for acceptance. We want everybody to like us. And of course, you see this narcissism, right? This endless presenting of your best self to the world all the time. And of course, if anybody doesn't like us or says something offensive to us on social media, it's going to trigger that rejection mechanism. So what I'm doing in this opening sequence is showing you why this stuff's got a grip. And then what we're going to talk about is, you know, are you going to allow it to have that kind of grip? Because yes, we have these kind of animalian responses, but the last thing that nature built in our brains was the prefrontal cortex, or what we call the executive function center of the brain. It's literally right behind your forehead, and you know, other animals don't have one. It's the higher order thinking section of the brain, or thinking center of the brain. So yes, we have these animalian, anthropological, caveman feelings and responses, but what we also have is the prefrontal cortex, the executive section. So all I'm saying here is that you can actually, over time, intelligently, you know, moderate, override, and direct these deeper responses. Now, so that's some of the fancy quasi-scientific background, but what I want to do now is just present you with some kind of simple concepts and questions. And firstly is this, you only have so much mental energy and you only have so much time. I mean, these are the ultimate finite resources, right? Like, you know, we can all get different amounts of money. We can all have different amounts of different things, but time is the one that we all share in common. So the first thing I want to present you to is, you know, if social media is a problem for you or for teammates, is just to reflect on how much of your mental energy and time is being poured into monitoring or communicating on social media. Why does that matter? Because if you really care about committing yourself to this season of your life as an elite athlete, I want you to think about how much time and energy you are hemorrhaging into this space. Because it's time or energy that could be put somewhere else. I mean, if you love what you do and you want to stay there and you want to stay in the state you're in now and get better even and just can, you know, and be as successful for as long as possible, I want you to think, you know, if Global Web Index is right and we're at this 2-hour threshold of social media, here's a very simple question. What else could you be doing with that 2 hours a day? I mean, imagine what you could be doing with 2 hours a day of training, or 2 hours a day of reading, or 2 hours a day of, you know, visualization practices, or two hours a day of, you know, reach out in the community and doing other stuff than, you know, involved in your sporting life. Think of what you could do with that 2 hours. And you're going, well, are you telling me that we can't look at social media at all? We have to just spend all. Go, no, well, let's just say you just took 30 minutes a day for social media. And we'll talk about that in the strategy section. But let's say you dialed it down and you freed up an hour. I mean, you're an elite athlete, right? Like, you're in a space that the vast majority of the population doesn't get to be in. And if you want to stay there, you have to be doing different things to other people. And here's one of them. Stop hemorrhaging hours of your life into something where you could be using that time more productively. So, simple concept, right? I mean, great line from Tony Robbins was that you don't need a whole bunch of great ideas to change your life. You just need one good idea that you're actually prepared to use. So there's one you can use. Like, basically say, well, yeah, if I think about it, that 2 hours a day, what if you just took one of those hours for reading, or one of those hours for an extra training session, or one of those hours for reading the biography of other great sports people, you know, like whatever. But that's your time. And once it's gone, you're not getting it back. Now, the next thing I really want to talk to you about is social media haters. So I hear that this is a big one, and I can see how this would be a problem for quite a few of you, is that, you know, if you have a bad performance or whatever, you're just going to get trolls. You're just going to get people on social media just smashing you and, you know, just saying all kinds of craziness. Now, the first thing that's going to do is trigger that anthropological bonding mechanism. Why? Because rejection and lack of acceptance was terrifying for our caveman self. So once somebody posts something on Twitter about you, or on Facebook, or on Instagram, whatever, then that sense of rejection is triggered. And of course, we get angry. So I'm sure you've been there. Somebody's posted something about one of your sporting performances and you go crazy. Now, where do we start with this? There's a lot here, right? Let me give you the first thing. If you respond to these people, how do I say this nicely? Dumb, right? Sorry, I mean, I know a way to say that. Don't do it. Why? Because I was doing a training ride the other day and I was thinking about talking with you, and I thought, you know, responding to social media haters is literally like pouring petrol on a fire and telling yourself, you know, it's going to put the fire out. I mean, yes, you're an elite athlete, but you can't rewrite the physical laws of the universe. If you pour petrol on a fire, the fire is only going to do one thing. It's not going to just go out, right? You know exactly what it's going to do. So if you respond to a hater, the minute you do that, you validate them. You give them oxygen. You give them, you know, what we call psychic oxygen. You validate their existence. All of a sudden, you know, this guy living in the basement with his grandmother, you know, lying there in his underwear in a filthy singlet with pizza stuck to the side of his face, suddenly you respond to him. I mean, what's he think he's going to do? He's just going to be like, woohoo, like, I've got a bite here. It's like fishing. They throw a line out, you bite, you're hooked. Boom, right? These guys love that. So, as hard as this is, and I've been there, I'm in a different space to you, different kind of work, but often I'll post something, you know, and just yesterday, I posted a quote about, I'd done a podcast on measurability of goals, and I posted, you know, that I said something on Twitter like, you know, if you have a goal that you can't measure, you don't have a goal, it's a wish. And someone posted this, you know, ridiculous thing, like, you know, it was just a crazy response. And I'm at the kitchen thing, breakfast bar, I got an iPad there, my kids are there, and I'm about to write something back just to hammer them. And I'm just saying, oh. And what went through my brain was, no, you have a brand, and if you respond to this person like that, it's going to undermine your brand. And don't give them the oxygen, right? If they're going to say something dumb, just let them be. So you'll forget a lot of what I do in this podcast, but just remember that petrol metaphor, that they look, friend, it's not going to stop, right? Like, this isn't going to change. You are going to get haters, and you are going to get, you know, served up on social media for the rest of your sporting career, okay? If you don't have people often disliking what you do, then you're really not doing probably kind of what you sometimes should be. Like, the fact that we generate antagonism isn't necessarily a problem. I mean, if you're performing terribly and you're not training properly and you're not putting in an effort, that's different. But this ain't going to stop, so don't ever pour petrol. Just breathe. I mean, practical strategy, just breathe. Seriously, I find if I just breathe deeply, put the device down, walk around, think of myself in a nursing home at 85 thinking, you know, when I'm there, this ain't going to matter. So that's the next one. Now, also in responding to haters, and look, I'm not being silly, I get this, right? You're an elite athlete. You put everything to be here. And you don't want people, the criticism, I get that. Like, but don't give them the oxygen. Don't give them the oxygen of responding to what they say. Now, I want to give you a couple of cool quotes. Just to give you a little cognitive tool, you know. When I was framing this, I thought, in responding to the criticism or seeing the criticism on social media, just ask yourself this. Are these the kinds of people that you want to associate with? You know, there are people in my life, you know, like my father-in-law, or I've got, you know, a few business mentors or different people that they came to me and said, look, Jonathan, what you're doing here, I want to give you some feedback on it. It's not great, okay? Or if they said to you, the way you did this, I'm not too pleased. Now, these are people who have a right and an access to my life. They have a right to be, I give them that right, I give them that oxygen, that privilege to speak into my life, you know, and I honor them with that, and I listen to them because I respect them. But, you know, some complete random on social media, that's not the same thing. So I encourage you to take feedback from your coach. I encourage you to take feedback from men and women that you really admire and respect. But ask yourself, when that pressure comes on social media and you're getting hammered by somebody, are these the kinds of people you want to associate with? Now, don't get arrogant and go, no one can tell me, I ain't going to listen. It's not that. That's different. It's just water off a duck's back, right? You just let the haters just go off, and you keep looking for the feedback and the critique of people you admire and respect. I want to give you some quotes on that. The philosopher Ben Sirach, writing in 180 BC, listen to these words, "Every creature loves its like, and every person his neighbor. All living beings associate by species, and a person clings to one like themselves." Isn't that last line? "And a person clings to one like themselves." Now, in my book, Bridging the Gap, I do an entire chapter on reference groups, the people you surround yourself with. And I think on the website here, if you do a search in the search bar for reference groups, you can listen to that podcast. But you become like the people you associate with. My gosh, I just got to drill this into people. The reference group studies argue that the five people you spend the most time with will have the biggest impact upon you, right? So if you are going to give oxygen to social media haters, what are you doing? Like, these are not people who are going to be speaking into your life in any meaningful way. I'm going to give you another great quote here from T.D. Jakes. Bishop T.D. Jakes, it's the coolest quote. Listen to this. He says, "Most people acquiesce." Now, acquiesce means give into, right? "Most people acquiesce or give into mediocrity, not for the lack of God-given potential, but primarily because they value the camaraderie of the average beyond the uniqueness of excellence." One more time. "Most people acquiesce or give into mediocrity, not for the lack of God-given potential, but primarily because they value the camaraderie of the average beyond the uniqueness of excellence." So think about that. Are you going to value the camaraderie of the average? Are you going to value the critique you get on social media? I mean, what goes on in your mind? Do you think that someone else, like a coach or someone, will see a critique and go, "Oh yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, when this guy in his grandma's basement said this, I hadn't thought of that." I mean, you got to value the uniqueness of excellence and being around awesome people and taking the input and the positivity and the quality feedback of great people and just block everything else, okay? If it is not valid, useful criticism that's going to help you flourish as an athlete, stop responding. Block, unsubscribe, get the haters out of your life. Now, let's move to the strategy section. So what have we done? We've looked at that anthropological background, that your brain is going to be hooked on novelty. And don't let that happen. Be in control of your own house. You know, you're somebody who has controlled your diet, you've controlled your training, you've controlled many of your mental processes. You're an elite athlete. To get to this point in your life, you know, you really have done a lot of stuff. So don't let that anthropological stuff, novelty and acceptance, just overwhelm you. Be in control. Be the master of your own house. I've encouraged you to think about what you could be doing with the time that you're possibly wasting on social media. I'm talking reading, I'm talking podcasts, I'm talking extra sessions, you know, like all that time that's being squandered, add that up over your career. It's going to be a huge amount of time. We've talked about where you're not going to pour petrol on the fire of social media haters, okay? You're not going to do that. So if you forget everything else, I want you to hold on to that one. Don't pour fuel on the fire, okay? Just get that mantra. Don't pour fuel on the fire. Don't pour fuel on the fire. Right. Here we go into the strategy section. So how, if you're using a ton of social media, if it's chewing up your time, if it's swallowing your mental bandwidth, the minute you wake up in the morning, you're on everything all day, you know, in between sessions, you're not focusing or concentrating because you're just sitting on the bench or the sideline and you're just, you know, you're in the training gym and you're just on social media, get off that stuff. Get focused on really becoming the best version of yourself you can become. And don't get me started on that topic. I speak a huge amount of time on Aristotle's teleology, and I think I'm going to mention that in the next podcast. Like, you have within you this capacity to become the very best version of yourself. Again, you have the capacity within yourself to become the very best version of yourself. And, you know, if you don't use that, then someone else is going to actualize their potential. You know, it's that old saying, I can't remember, pretty sure it's one of the NBA players said that, you know, there's another guy out there and he's training, right? And sooner or later, you two are going to meet. And whoever's done the work is going to be successful. So, you know, you can blow 2 hours a day on social media, but the other guy might not be. Okay, so strategies. Always work at the conceptual level first. The first thing I want to suggest to you is you have to think about who you really want to become, the kind of man or woman that you really want to become. Okay, this is the first thing, because muscling it out, just sort of saying, don't use social media, that's not going to work. You know, how do I use it? I use it intelligently, I think, and I don't waste my time on it, because at the deeper level, I hope I know who I am, what I stand for, what really matters. I want to give you a couple of good insights. The great Roman writer Cicero, wrote an essay called On Friendship. And there's a great quote, Esse quam videre, Esse quam videre. And I'll try and put a link to that here. You know, listen to the translation of Esse quam videre. Listen to it. It says, to be rather than to seem to be. Okay, listen, to be rather than to seem to be. Now, as I was preparing this for you, that was really on my heart. Why would I say to you that it's important to actually be rather than to seem to be? Well, here's why. Because I think for many of you, like in the public eye as an elite athlete, there's this pressure to present the perfect life so that all the photos that you take or stuff you're posting on Instagram, we're always presenting this perfect self. Now, that's fine, but can I ask you to take it to a deeper level? I want you to be that self. You know, the first strategy level of having a healthy approach to this stuff is you got to be a good person. You've got to be a decent, virtuous, good person, and then share that truth with the world through social media. You know, if you're doing really sort of crazy stuff behind the scenes and presenting a different face, well, yeah, I don't know about that, right? Cicero also said this, few are those who wish to be endowed with virtue rather than to seem so. So here's one of the greatest minds in history saying that there's actually not a lot of people who want to be good rather than appear to be good. You know, this deep desire to be a good person. And here's what I want to suggest with social media. Every post you do, here's a simple concept. Every post that you put out there should benefit people's lives in some way. Now, there's your test. Every post that you put out should be a positive thing that benefits people's lives in some way. If it doesn't pass that test, don't post it. And you go, what about just a photo of me hanging with friends? You go, that's fine. If it's a positive image and you got a good caption with it and it just helps people get to know you better, totally cool. But again, I want to leave you with mantras, right? So I've talked about the petrol on the fire mantra. Here's another one. Really, three words. Is this helping? Ready? Is this helping? Before you press post or send or reply, ask yourself those three words. You'll forget most of this podcast. Don't forget these three words. Is this helping? Is this helping? Is it helping me as an athlete? Is it helping me as a citizen? Is it helping me as a husband, father, you know, spouse, whatever, woman, man? Like, is it helping me become the best version of myself? Is it helping the world? If it isn't, don't post it. It's really that simple. Now, I just want to encourage you to become somebody who brings good stuff into the world. You are a disciplined person. You've obviously got this far in life. So bring the discipline that's got you this far in the sporting world into this new area of sort of social communication and bring good stuff. Now, Couple more strategies. Can I suggest, rather than living on this stuff 24/7, the concept of one disciplined session per day? You know, just sort of saying to yourself, right, I'm going to do 1 hour. I'm going to get up early. I'm going to do 1 hour. I'm going to do 30 minutes, whatever. I'm going to reply to everything. I'm going to buffer up some stuff and you know, just I'm going to get someone to help me. I'm going to do a bunch of photos. I'm going to have a PA or someone, or if you can have that, just limit it rather than this endless constant checking all the time. Just limit it to one major session a day. Things about habits. I've done a huge amount of work on habits. There's a podcast here on the website about habits. You rarely break them cold turkey. They're better, most often replaced with other things. Read some great stuff from Harvard on willpower being a finite resource. Just trying to muscle up and go, right, I will not use social media. Doesn't work. Your brain goes, yeah, right, of course you will. The minute somebody goes, have you seen this? You're like, what? Show me. Like, you want to see it. So I just want you to get a balance here. I'm not saying never check social media. I'm not saying just go cold turkey. I'm saying get practical, one session per day. Here's one of the things that I do, because I've got young children. I've got 3 young kids, is I don't want them constantly seeing me on the device. So often I will turn it off at key times. Like literally with an iPhone, you got to hold that sucker down and really do it and turn it off. And then, you know, just leave stuff disconnected and turned off for a while. And you'll find that, like, if you're going to a gym session or you're sitting on the, you're going to a training event, just leave it off. And just try crazy stuff, like really talking and connecting to people. I'm no saint. I find this just as hard as you do at times. But I'm getting into this process of turning stuff off, asking myself these questions. Is this helping? Is this beneficial? That's one of the things I love about Instagram, is that you can create really nice stuff. It's positive stuff, and you can just put it out there. So let's do a wrap up here, and I just want to give you a few more. I'm big on repetition and drilling these points in. This stuff is powerful. Social media taps into our deep needs for novelty in the environment. It taps into our deep needs for belonging and acceptance from the group. Who are you going to let really speak into your life? If you are going to respond and accept the criticism of people that you don't even know and who don't like you, you are pouring petrol on a fire. And I want you to see that image in your mind. Hear it, feel it, touch it. Get that image in your mind of some, you know, crazy person dumping petrol on a fire. That's all you're doing. I'm going to encourage you to breathe and not to do it. These are not the kind of people you want to associate with. You want to fill your life with positive, you know, just really good people, not people who are going to tear you down. So don't reply. Breathe, press block, you know, unsubscribe, get them out of your space. On the strategy side, I just want to encourage you to become and to really appear, not just to appear to be something, but to actually be something. Your life has been marked by discipline. Have the discipline of a good character. Have the discipline of virtue and the discipline of not, you know, posting awful stuff or replying to awful stuff or fueling a fire. Become the message. I love that line. Become the message. Don't craft a social media persona. Become who you are. I mean, so many times we see elite athletes posting awful stuff and getting in all sorts of trouble. Don't be one of them. You know, your life's going to be much bigger than this. You know, you're going to, your sporting career will draw to a close at some point. And I'm not supposed to mention that, but it actually will. But what is left behind will be the man or the woman that you really are and what you've contributed to the world and the conversations you've had and the things that you've brought. So bring good stuff. Think about the practical side. One discipline session per day. Remembering that cold turkey doesn't work. So just put in strategies, turning it off at key times. Scheduling key times a day and keep that mantra at the front of your mind. Is this helping? Is what I'm about to post helping the world become a better place in some way? All right. So I hope some of that's been useful. I want you to join me for the second podcast. I'm going to really talk to you about peak performance stress, because I think some of you carry so much of a burden that everything depends on you and you're providing for your family and what if you get injured and what if this happens. I got some really cool stuff on helping you manage that peak performance stress. So I hope you can share this with other guys, other girls in the team, wherever you are, send it to friends and family. There's some good stuff in this one and the one to come. I'm Jonathan Doyle. If you'd like me to come and speak at your organization, just get in touch with me. You can send me an email at jonathan@jonathandoyle.co. jonathan@jonathandoyle.co. Come across to the website at jonathandoyle.co. You can find me on Twitter, on Instagram. I'd love to hear from you. I get really passionate. I love coming into an organization, meeting the people, identifying the real core challenges and needs, and then speaking and just passionately bringing a message into that. So if you want to hear me speak live, get in touch with me. I'd love to come and do that. And my mantra is to liberate people's potential, to just bring out the best that's in you. So whether we meet or not, I hope you have an awesome career. And I hope that you become the kind of person that flourishes after that career, during that career. But let's meet up again in the Peak Performance Podcast still to come. I'm Jonathan Doyle. It's been awesome speaking with you. Go out, post something awesome, and have a great day or evening wherever you are in the world. And I'll speak to you again very soon.